All right, y'all. Last week, we looked at what child is this? We talked about the baby Jesus. We talked about the meaning of Christmas, of course. We talked about everything about Jesus. This week, we're going to look in Luke chapter 2. And, of course, we would want to read the account of Jesus' birth. Seeing as how it's Christmas time, right? So let's look at his birth, and as we look, as we read this account, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at, we're going to kind of try to look at the gospel message in the account of the birth of Christ. So we'll be looking at a word called rejection. We'll be looking at a word called redemption, and we'll be looking at a word that we call reachability. All right? Three R's. So let's read together chapter 2 and verse 1. I didn't get it on there because I want to specifically focus on that. So look in your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Verse 13 says, 'Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." It's a little bit, 20 verses, a little bit lengthy for what we normally do, but it's the Christmas account of Christ's birth in according to the Gospel of Luke. Right? Heard it before, been there, done that, read that, read it every year, right? But it's an amazing story, isn't it? Never gets old, hopefully. It's a little bit, I think it's a story that really is difficult to comprehend the magnitude of the story in only 20 short verses, right? And I don't know how long it just took me to read that, but we just told the entire story of Christ coming into the world in that amount of time. And so many things had happened during that time. Have you ever tried to put yourself in the shoes of the characters in this account? Different ones, right? Mary or Joseph, the shepherds, right? What would it have been like to be one of the crowd where they started telling people when they got there, telling people what the angels had told them? The shepherds were standing out in the field with a stick, looking at sheep, stinking, and doing what sheep do. And suddenly the angels of God appear and they're like, hey, we got some news for you. And we're like, what? And it says they were terrified. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but walking around in the woods at night, it could be anything out there, right? But then you show up in the middle of the darkness, these angels, and say all of this stuff to you. And here we are, almost 2020 now, the year 2020. And it would be a shame if we just read through this story and said, that's a nice story about Jesus. And it became a habit that didn't mean anything. And we don't reflect on the magnitude of what had happened and what can be learned from all of this. Right? Let's look at verse 7, for example. Verse 6 and 7. Look what it says. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Talking about Mary and Joseph having to travel because it was a law. They had to go and be counted. Right? So they went. And she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We learned last week. She's pregnant by the Spirit of God with the baby Jesus. And it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. So she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Why wouldn't there be room? I was thinking about this yesterday. Because Pam and I, Tuesday night, after we finish with our Christmas Eve celebration together, we're going to get in our vehicle and we're going to head to the Midwest to see family. And we're not going to drive all the way, so we're going to stop somewhere. And it hit me. Is there going to be room in the inn for us somewhere? Because a lot of people are traveling, right? Not that big a deal. We'll figure it out. But it could happen that there's a lot of places to be full up. That's why there wasn't any room in the general sense, right? But how many of you would put yourself in the shoes of this innkeeper? Right? When you're reading scripture, we have to try to put ourselves in those times, in those shoes, or in those sandals. Right? Here's Joseph and Mary, young couple. She's obviously going to have a baby. And you're going to say, sorry, no room. Poof, shut the door. Is that what's going to happen if you're in their shoes? Is that really what we would do? So it has to be more than just there was crowds of people, right? I mean, they didn't completely turn them away, did they? They offered them the barn. Well, you can stay out in the barn if you want to. Now, some of us, maybe we would like to think, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe we would like to think that we would have went into the crowd of people and said, does anybody, any of these, especially the fellas, right, the guys, if any of you gentlemen, would you mind sleeping in the barn because this lady's about to have a baby and can we handle it, you know? And maybe some men might say, hey, have our spot, right? That's what we would say the right thing to do would have been, wouldn't you say? But that's not what happened, is it? They said, nope, we don't have room for you, sorry. Step back, please. Shut the door. And there they are in the barn. Rejection. Rejected. You notice that Jesus, ever since the idea of Jesus, the Messiah, ever since God promised the Messiah, he was rejected. All the way up until the moment he was going to come into the world. Rejected. Even after he was born, right? The first thing we read about is Herod wanted to kill him. In fact, he wanted to kill him so bad he killed every child that was born, trying to kill him. Rejected the Savior, the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promise. Rejected. Right? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Because now we know, those of us who believe, those of us who are Christians, we know that this gospel is true. We know that this Jesus is real. And we know that there is a need for a Savior. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Wouldn't y'all agree? Amen. Okay, thank you. We're getting, it's Christmas time, y'all. We're talking about Jesus being born so we can be saved. Right? And it's being rejected. And you're telling your friends and neighbors that Jesus is real and you can be saved from sin by faith. And what's happening? It's being rejected. You're saying Merry Christmas to people who aren't believers or maybe don't know God or are against the Christian way, and they're rejecting it. You're being persecuted because you love Jesus. Right? It's being rejected. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The gospel is hard and it's harsh for those who are not willing to accept the beauty of Jesus. Isn't it great? Isn't it great what this means? What Jesus in the flesh. So he comes into the world, and this guy, he's like, yeah, we don't have room, but you can stay in the barn if you want to, and then shuts the door. And she wrapped him in some clothes and put him in the feeding box for the animals. I mean, that's what I would have done if I was Joseph and Mary. Like, I find something to put my son in, right? Find something to put this baby, especially Mary, because Mary knows what's happening. Mary knows how this baby came about. Joseph ought to know because he was told as well. So not only are we taking care of this baby because it's a baby and it's our baby, but it's the Son of God baby. So the first question that we have to ask ourselves as we remind ourselves of this Christmas story, this account of Jesus' birth, is have we rejected Christ? Have we rejected the meaning of Christmas? Are we helping others to understand that this is not what we would want to do? That the Christmas gift is to be accepted, right? It's more than just Merry Christmas and Christmas trees and gifts and good food and good fellowship and family fights. Let's be honest. Right? It's more than that. We celebrate Christmas because there's no salvation, as was just mentioned in our communion meditation. There's no salvation without Christmas. And we cannot reject what God has put in place. We cannot reject the way that God brought it all about. Sometimes that's the reason why people reject. Well, I don't like the way God's doing this, so let's just make my own way. Good luck with that. Right? The problem with the gospel message is any time of the year is people don't have room for God. They don't have room for his plan of salvation. Because it means change. It means you have to get rid of some things because we're full of something else, usually sin. And in order for God to take up residence, to come in and have a place, some other things have to go, right? Please don't put God in your barn. By the way, all of us have rejected Jesus at some point or another. Thank God for repentance and his grace and mercy, right? So the number two thing, let's go to verse 11 and 14. Look at this, what it says. The shepherds were out there, they're standing in the dark, right? They're keeping watch over their flocks at night. It says the angel of the Lord appears to them. Now, it could be broad daylight, y'all. It could be the longest day of the year where the sun stays out and it's bright and clear and the birds are chirping and everybody's happy and we're having barbecue, and if angels show up, I'm going to be afraid. I'm not going to say, ooh, there's some angels. And you're not either. All of us, without even deciding, we're going to be falling flat on our face because of the holiness of God that comes with those angels. And they show up at these guys at night. These guys are at night checking on, making sure these sheep don't get eaten by wolves. Right? And they're just standing there in the night. And they're used to being up at night. They're used to being out there at night. And they're used to be having critters coming along. So they have to be somewhat brave, wouldn't you say? They've encountered wolves and different critters in the night that would devour them if they weren't paying attention. And yet here these angels come, probably lit it up like it was daytime when these angels show up from the holiness of God. Here's what they say. First they say, this is odd, every time I have to point this out, if I remember, I have to point this out. Every time in verse 10 it says, the angels told the men, do not be afraid. Isn't it comforting to know that our Father, every time he shows himself to us, he comforts us and says, do not be afraid. Our Lord, our Father, is aware of what the consequences of his people, his creation, being in his presence, his holiness, are. That's why he told Moses, like, you can't look at me. Don't look at me. Because you'll die. You will surely die if you lay eyes on me. Right? That's why he sent these angels. He's like, hey, listen up, fellas. I got something to tell you. Verse 11 says, today, here's what they said to these shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The gospel being preached to people. Angels showing up like, hey, got some good news, y'all. Right over there, the town of David, a Savior's been born. And when they heard this Savior's been born, almost can guarantee that they flash back to God promising the Messiah to come and fix all the problems of sin. Because every good Jewish person should have been waiting for the Messiah, the King of the Jews, to come. And if the angels of God come, right? And you know it's the angels. You know it's an angel of God because fear comes all over you. Right? And when they say a Savior is born, right? That's better than any other news you could ever hear about anything. Right? Because without this Savior, there's no hope. There's no presence of God. There's no being in the presence of God. There's nothing. Without Jesus, we might as well be pirates and just live however we want to live because there's no hope. And they got to hear this news. And it says, look how it's translated to us. It says, in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Y'all, Merry Christmas. Isn't it great when someone that in your family or maybe somebody you care about or your friends, they walk up to you and they got this box and it's all wrapped up, got a bow on it, got your name on it. They're like, this is for you. And you're like, oh, it's for me? And you grab it and you're like shaking it because you want to be surprised. And you're slowly, some people slowly open and don't want to rip the paper. Other people are like, ooh, let me see what it is. And they rip it wide open. Because we love to receive gifts, some more than others. Some get a little bit bothered by it because for whatever reasons, it's just personalities. But here's God sent his angels into the world and told these men, here's a gift for the world. And he's wrapped up in some clothes laying in a feeding trough down there in a barn. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. I have given gifts wrapped up in a grocery bag. Because that's the way it was put in when I bought it. Nothing fancy. Right? It's not because I don't want to take the time. It's just because, one, I either bought it at the last minute or I'm just not good at wrapping it. Or a whole bunch of other excuses I can come up with. Right? But it's not because God didn't have time to wrap Jesus, right? It's not because God didn't have time to make it look all nice and neat, because the people were expecting the King of the Jews to come like that. They were expecting the King of the Jews, the Messiah that was promised, to come in splendor as a king would, with a crown on his head, dressed as a king. In a golden bassinet. With bows of diamonds. But that's not how Jesus came. Why? Because it was prophesied that he would be born in a barn. It was prophesied and it was told to them, this is how you will know that it's him, because he will be laying in a manger. And can you imagine if these shepherds, I'm trying to hurry up with this, if these shepherds were like me and you and weren't full of fear, they would maybe start second-guessing these angels, right? Well, how can it be the Lord if he's in a manger? Because that's the logical question, right? Like if I showed up in front of my wife way back when I asked her to marry me, and I didn't have a box with a ring in it, right? And I had something else that didn't look like a box with a ring in it, she wouldn't get the message, would she? It would be like, what is this? This is not how you do it. Because we have expectations. But this is the way God decided to do it, and this is the way God made sure that we could understand that it was true, that Jesus is Lord, and that he would be born to you. To you. Right? So here's what I suggest maybe thinking about doing in your home. And then I'll move on. Every Christmas, have a box wrapped up, however which way you want to do it, and then put a card on the side that says, to you on it. Just to remind you that Jesus was here for you. Because you need him. There's no greater gift than the gift that you need. It's fun to get things that you want. But when you have a gift, when you receive a gift of something you actually need, it means a lot much more than something that you just really wanted, right? That's why we got underwear for Christmas when I was a kid. Every year. It was every year. It was like guaranteed. We already know what that, we wouldn't even open it. We just put it off to the side. We weren't excited about that, but we needed it. So the promise of God was fulfilled by giving you and me Jesus. Merry Christmas. So to Jesus, he's Lord of all, right? He brings salvation to everybody, but yet some still reject him. Can you imagine somebody like God himself presenting a gift to a person, and the person say, nah, thanks anyway. That's what happens when the gospel is rejected. That's what happens when people don't make room for the Savior in their heart. Right? Look what verse 14 says happened. Well, verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. This is this is after they told him what the good news was. He said, verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On who? On whom his favor rests. Who? On whom does the favor of the Lord rest? Here's a hint, John 3:16. Everybody who believes. Anybody who accepts the gift of Jesus, the favor of the Lord rests on. What's the favor of the Lord? His forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. Isn't that great? So just because we're saved don't mean we're the only ones favored. People who aren't saved, people who die, leave this world and go to a place we know as hell, are still favored by God because Jesus died for them too. The gift of Christmas was for them too. Yet it was rejected. I don't understand how you have a Merry Christmas without receiving the gift, to be honest with you. Think about it. Without truly, genuinely receiving Jesus into your heart, making room for him in your life, in fact, adjusting your entire life so that he is what's in there, and then fitting everything else around that, that's a Merry Christmas. So there's redemption right there. Are we singing with the company of heavenly hosts? Because we've made room for Jesus, we haven't rejected his presence in our lives. Are we singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favors rest? Are we singing those things? I mean, not just in December, right? Because January 1st, everybody's going to like, shut all the Christmas music off. It's over with. That's what people do. It's like, Christmas is over, y'all. It's not about singing Christmas music, is it? Is your life screaming glory to God in the highest because you've received the gift of Jesus? Because God revealed the gospel to you in some way, form, or fashion somewhere in your life, and you've gone to the barn and you've seen the baby in the manger and you fell on your face and worshiped him because he's Lord of all. Or have you rejected him and Christmas is about something else? Moving on, verse 15 to 20, and this will be the reachability part of it. Look what he says here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. This is born to you. 15, let's go to see. Okay, here we are. Verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The only way anyone whoever hears the gospel is going to receive the gift is if they seek it out. Right? We can preach the gospel all day long. We can live the gospel all day long. If people hear the gospel, all they have to do is say, what? What? There's a Jesus? What's this Jesus about? Once there's a what if in their mind, once there's a what if in our hearts about Jesus and the reality of him and the salvation that can come, once there's this little bitty desire to know more, it's like a toenail in the doors of our hearts, and God will come in and reveal the truth. Because once they showed up and they told everybody around, look, y'all, these shepherds showed up and they said, if we come over here, we'll find this baby in a manger and he's going to be the King of the King and the Lord of all. He's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Savior. They couldn't stop talking about it. If you encounter God the way they did, you won't be able to stop talking about it either. The good thing was, they told everybody, verse 17. Verse 18 says, everybody they told were amazed. I could stand up here and do what I do, and you can think what you want about it, good or bad. You can say, oh, that was a good, he's a great preacher. He's not a great preacher. I wish we could get, whatever you think doesn't matter. Because the gospel truth is the gospel truth. And the Spirit of God will take that gospel and he will do whatever he wants to do with it in somebody's heart. And you may only have a moment of someone's attention in your life from time to time to do what these shepherds did. Our lives need to be so excited about this baby. We need to be so jacked up about this baby, so excited. Everything we do is because this baby came into the world and he's our Savior. And we need to live lives that reflect that so that people will say, what are they so excited about? How come they have so much strength and courage? They live in the same world I do. We live on the same street. We live through the same storms. But yet they got something I don't have. What is it? And once they find out what it is, they'll be amazed, just like we are. I'm amazed at the gospel message itself. That God could take this broken world full of sin, and in his holiness and his righteousness and his justness, make a plan to where he could be paid back for the sins that we committed and yet let us off scot-free at the same time, and do it through bringing Jesus into the world so that he can go to the cross It's amazing. The good news is the gospel is for everybody. It's not, he didn't just come into the world. See, if Jesus would have came into the world as a king with a crown in a mansion, he'd have been off limits to most of the world. Because you don't just walk up to a king's house and say, "Can I check out the baby?" You don't do that. But if there's a baby that's born in a barn, anybody and their brother can come and check him out. Because that's the way God wants it to be. That's the way God planned for it to be. God planned so that everybody would come to see the baby and know who he is and be exposed to his presence. Everybody. Everybody came. Not everybody received. So I'll finish up with this. Verse 20 says this. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Right? So, they were just being shepherds. They were told the truth. God revealed himself to them. God revealed his plan to them. He laid out the gospel to them and said, "Go check it out for yourself." And they did. And when they got finished with that, they figured out that God is true to his word. Right? Not only did they hear the gospel, but they went and checked it out for themselves. When they saw, they believed. And when they believed, they glorified God. And they told everybody that they could hear, that get to hear them about God. And it says when they returned, they were still doing what? Glorifying God for all the things that they had seen. So let me ask this question to all the believers this morning. Are we glorifying God for all the things that we've seen him do? Are we praising God for all the things that he's done in our life? Because I was just talking about the birth of Christ. Mentioned a few times his death and resurrection, which brings us salvation, right? Every single one of us in here could write a book about the details of what God has done in our lives alone, my life, and your life. All of that is a bonus. Everything that God has done for you and with you and to you and because of you and despite you, he's done it on top of Jesus being the Christ. Merry Christmas. Isn't that awesome? And if you're not saved, if you have not accepted this gift of salvation by faith and said, "You know what, I think this is true. I believe this is true. I need to repent. I need to stop being a rebel against God. I need to stop rejecting Christ." Now's the day. Your gift is right here. Just receive it. Let's stand together and sing together. Sing as if we're going to have a Merry Christmas. Sing as if God is our God and Jesus is our Christ. And sing as if we want our neighbors and our friends and the people we don't even know to be saved. Come forward and make a decision if you need to.